This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353-53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Wow, where were you watching? Where were you concentrating? Where were you backing winners over the weekend? Was it on the Gold Coast? Huey Bowman with three winners, Taking Aim, Religify, and Dawn Wall. Dawn Wall now going on to the Oaks, and it's going to be fantastic. So we look forward to all of that happening. The Hollandale Stakes up there on the Gold Coast. Rosehill Gardens was a good four, and Timmy Clark, well, he's just a juggernaut. He had three winners at Morphettville. It was a tough day out for the boss in Joe Marrera. He couldn't find the top of the podium anywhere. Secret Agenda winning Adelaide's first $1 million race with Ollie. Damien Oliver riding away there. Beautiful ride. And then at Flemington, it was Bo Mertens with three winners. Divine Quality, Hot Ruby, and also Storms Are Brewing, all getting the job done. And he's a young star on the horizon. Speaking of a young star on the horizon about 65 years ago. Ronnie Duffersey, good morning to you.
G'day, TK. Look, it was a marathon there on Saturday.
It was.
Fantastic, you know, some fantastic performances. John O'Shea wins a feature race at his last day training for Godolphin with It Somewhat. Some good riding performances as well. And plenty to talk about, I'd suggest.
There is. Good, nice to have you on board, Ronnie. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au joins us. G'day, Glenn. Where were you watching? Where were you concentrating? It was on for young and old.
And it was, as Ronnie said, it was a very, very long day when you get into the races, before 10 o'clock in the morning, and you're trying to watch Rose Hill, you're watching, Newcastle, you're watching Morphettville, you're watching the Gold Coast, you throw a race in at Flemington, and then you're trying to track, where these horses are going to head. You're not worried about what happens today. You've got to worry now down the track in another, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks time, what's going to happen, well, for the continuation in Adelaide, but moving and concentrating on Brisbane.
Yeah, exactly right. We've got Scone coming up on this weekend, the standalone. We've got the Scone Cup, which is going to be fantastic on Friday. I urge everyone to get out there if you haven't done it before. Make the road trip, get to Scone, enjoy the Friday, the Cup Day, then the more important races, I would imagine, on the Saturday, the standalone. And if you've been before, I don't have to tell you how good it is. It's a fantastic couple of days. Dean Lester from Melbourne joins us as well. G'day, Dino.
Hello, TK. You
saw some nice horses in action at Flemington, I reckon.
Yes, I think we did. I think we started with a very nice horse in Articus. Wouldn't be surprised if he went up for the Doomben Cup or something like that. He's a very good horse, and he's back in form. So I liked his win, and Divine Quality later in the day. She's 2 from 2, and she'll win a better race too. She was very good again.
I also thought Brooker and Freeze Over might kick on.
Brooker will definitely. Both of them, you're right. Allerton Zara team's suggesting that she was probably a Blue Diamond filly in the autumn, but went chinsaw, just brought her back, and maybe a 1,000 guineas filly in the spring, and Freezeover's just more your sprinting type. It was very good. So you're right, it was another really good race.
And then it was strange, by the end of the day, they were coming down the outside fence, appeared to be better.
Yeah, I think it was. Certainly down the straight, that group.
I meant down the straight.
That group.
I wasn't suggesting you take them to the outside fence.
The last winner got pretty wide. So
that's right.
Yeah, it probably was, but that race, the speed was drawn to the outside, and it's often a good rule of thumb, wherever the speed is, if the track's fairly even, just go wherever the speed was, and that's they dominated that race.
Are we seeing those tactics change a little bit, Dino? Because splitting, with the rebuild of the track, they all used to race now in the clump in the middle a little bit more, but now they seem to be back splitting.
Yeah, well, the jockeys were adamant that walked it Saturday before the first that you wanted to be on the inside or the outside. You didn't want to have any part of the middle. So I think those that did it properly were rewarded, because those that were stuck in the middle were in no man's land.
Ronnie, a little bit of sad news coming out of Hong Kong. I know you keep a very close eye on what happens on Hong Kong. They had a Group 1 yesterday, and the favourite, Rapper Dragon, which we saw here race as a juvenile under the guidance of Gay Waterhouse. It was second in the Champagne Stakes as a two-year-old, and Rapid Dragon was in the Group 1 on the weekend, was the favourite, was ridden by Joe Moreira, but unfortunately suffered, a pelvis injury midway through that Champions Mile at Sha Tin and had to be put down.
Yeah, that's horrible. He was one of the most exciting prospects in Hong Kong. He was a $1.40 favourite in that race. And like you said, he broke his pelvis. Sometimes you can recover from a broken pelvis, but obviously it was a bad one, and they had to put him down. And it's a huge shock for everyone in Hong Kong because he was the new people's champ.
Yeah, it's a shame. You don't like to see those sort of catastrophic injuries or any sort of injury to any horse, particularly a rising star like that. And Glenn Munsey, Chris Waller, had another successful day, as he does nearly every Saturday, but he was over at Churchill Downs watching the Kentucky Derby, and it was run in pretty bad conditions. That I don't like the dirt track much, but it looks even worse when they've had a lot of rain.
Well, TK, they've got to go on the slop every now and then. You
the
know
slop.
That, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It was slop, wasn't it?
It was slop. But he just fired out the winner of the Kentucky Derby, led, improved his position, kept going. That was the end of the sixth.
That's what they do.
He came home like his mum had a whirlpool.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chris Waller over there on a bit of a fact-finding mission. But it's amazing, isn't he, Dino, when you think about it. Chris Waller, I think these are the stats, and I'll stand corrected. I think he's had four or five runners in Adelaide, and in his fourth or fifth starter down there, he wins a Group 1.
Yeah, pretty good. He's got a terrific bunch of three-year-old fillies this season, Duff. With Egg Tart, Dawnwall, Fox Play, and Oh My Sword, who's the one on the sidelines. So, I mean, any of those four as four-year-olds will, I think, be prominent in feature races.
Well, he's going to be so dominant in the Queensland Oaks, especially, yeah. You know, like they're up and running. You know, your Egg Tarts, who I did hear a report that she will go over, fly over.
Will she?
And run, you know, without another runner, 5 week break between runs. So Chris has been quoted as saying. So that'll be interesting, and probably other horse with timing is the one that won on Saturday there in Brisbane, Dawnwall.
On the Gold Coast.
She looks a really good stayer, Dawnwall.
Yeah, she does. I'm not ruling out Oklahoma Girl as well. She ran third here on Saturday. I think that's a strong three-year-old race. That's looks a good Derby lead up for me. I like Black and Gold, Black on Gold, and at least if you want to spec, you know, horses like Oklahoma Gold, if it rains in Brisbane or it becomes a testing track, I think it plays to her strengths.
The way the track's going, it may not have to rain.
No, you're right, Glenn. You are right.
Yeah, so that goes on to be a concern up there in Eagle Farm. While it looks like there's plenty of grass cover, Glenn, that there's plenty of kickback, isn't it, even if they don't get rain. So if they get rain, it could be horrendous.
Yeah, I just don't think it's got the consolidation there, TK, and that's why you're getting the kickback. And people will tell you it looks dry on top, but once they sort of just slice that first bit off, it's still wet underneath. And the track was downgraded last week on Wednesday with no rain. So that's got to be massive concern.
Yeah, so Black on Gold, it's off to the Queensland Derby now. And would you say he was the most impressive winner on the day?
On the day, no.
At Rose Hill?
Yeah, no, New Universe was the most impressive winner on the day. He's an ex-Kiwi having his first run for Chris Waller. There was talk about, you know, he'd come up about $11 on the Wednesday, and there was no real push for him early, and, you know, everyone was waiting for it, and it didn't happen really till there was mumbling Saturday morning,
right.
And then they went on with the job. And he looked, oh, I thought he looked very arrogant. I know they went quick.
How much $11 was around?
Well, that's where he was. He was still a $7 chance TK on Thursday night.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, so what Ronnie just said, you know, there was sort of, I think a lot of people just had something on him on spec.
Right.
The fact that he was there, Tommy Berry rode him. You know, he had New Zealand form, but he hadn't been seen at the trials for a while. He'd had a couple of trials and then, you know, been put away. And then sort of Saturday morning, you know, that now the really key moves are after 9 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You know, once you see a decent move for one then, you know that everything's in order. And it was into favourite by, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock Saturday morning.
Mm. If we talk about the Doom and 10,000, which comes up on the weekend, you've got Russian Revolution. Glenn is the pretty short price favourite, keeping it very nice and safe.
Yeah, well, TK, it's the market. I'll just get off the Stradbroke from
you're here. Okay. I've got it, mate, if you want.
No, I've got Larry's here. Don't worry about TK. He'll be very, very angry at you if you start necking his job. He's a $3.50 favourite, Russian Revolution. Blackheart Bart's there, but the boys have got him as doubtful. Mm. He's a $5 chance. He might be just straight to the Straddy. Phil Swib and Music Magnate, $7 a pair. Red Zell and Voodoo Lad, $8.50 a pair. We've got Counterattack, Rebel Dane, Start Wondering, and Takedown all at 13. Darren's at 17, and Clearly Innocent, Japanisma, and Sabug on the $26 line. But, yeah, that field, well, that race is Saturday, so we'll know a lot more Wednesday.
Blackheart Bart would probably head towards more like a Goodwood, I would have thought, Dino.
Definitely going to the Goodwood, yeah.
Okay, definitely going to the Goodwood there. All right, so we got to mark it up for the Goodwood yet.
Yeah, oh, the Goodwood's been up for a while. He's a $2.50 favourite. Now, that was when he was made pretty short after he was pulled out of that race in Melbourne, and they said he was definitely going to the Goodwood at that point. So he's $2.50 on the second line of betting. Well, Saturday's winner, Secret Agenda. We've got Hellbent, Vega Magic, all at $8. Malaguera, does he trial today?
Yes.
Yeah. He's a $9 chance. Illustrious Lad's $10. I think he trials today as well. I don't know why the boys have got Secret Agenda in the race twice here. So if you are paying attention in the office, 151678 is Secret Agenda at $8. 151674 is Secret Agenda at $10.
Right. And the 10th if I want to back it.
Our punters are smart. There's 472 on it at the $10 and $90 on it at the $8. So that person that's had the 90, I've got to have a decent look at the markets a bit closer. Sepedo, Voodoo Lad, both $10 chances. Lucky Hustler, Shidell, Silent Edition, Under the Louvre, Vidora, all at $16. So a number of those horses that ran in the Robert Sangster, you know, may back up for the Goodwood, which is Saturday week.
And it's still open, the job for Godolphin. If anybody would like it, 13:53:53 to take over. It is now official, Ronnie, that John O'Shea and Godolphin have parted company. Darren Biedman has taken over as the interim trainer for Godolphin, so he's clearly got his licence and he's in place. But he said, look, too early for me just yet. But the thing coming out of the chat with Andrew Bensley with Godolphin was the fact that, you know, they're still, well, I'll borrow a horse's name, hell-bent on having just the one trainer, not one trainer in Melbourne and one trainer in Sydney.
Yeah, there's been so much gossip since last
week. You love
week.
A bit of gossip,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but everyone's got an authority. Maybe they should have just put the statement out straight away and saying this is, you know, we'd just let people know what's happening, because everyone seems to know what's happening, but they don't. And I think, look, all we could get out of Henry was that they probably want one trainer, not two trainers, split between states, because that brings up too much competition between the same organisation. They're happy with Darren Biedman to carry on as long as it takes till they go through a process. They say that they haven't interviewed other trainers, where a lot of people will tell you that they have interviewed other trainers. James Cummings' name keeps coming up. But he's come out and said that he hasn't been interviewed. So who knows? But all it is, we know that Darren Biedman is the trainer as from yesterday, and then we'll wait for further notice, whether that's in a week or whether that's in 2 months.
He's training a stack of Swagger winners this morning at the trials, Darren.
Going well, is he?
Yeah. So, he kicked off well.
Mm. Well, it is a numbers game after all, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is, and
you've got to be able to handle those numbers.
That's sure. Yeah. And I think that was one constant thing too, Glenn, then when we were chatting with John O'Shea when he first took over. And he ran a big stable. You've got to say he ran a big stable, his stable. But when he went to Godolphin, it was like it was gigantor compared to what he had. And he took a long, long time to really get his head around it. We've got Darren Biedman on the line. He's the interim coach for Godolphin. And first up, I'd just like to say congratulations, Darren. Well done, mate. Good. What was the process about going through and getting your license, Darren?
Oh, I just had to go and see the stewards and see Gary Rudge, the licensing committee, and get interviewed. And it was all a little bit rushed. Didn't come up for air at one point, but I had to go into Race New South Wales last Thursday, and next minute you sort of got your license by Saturday.
Yeah, a massive change of role for you, isn't it? And a whole heap more responsibility as well.
Exactly. Like, you know, with John you know, where John wasn't, sort of, I was at the trials or the races or, you know, at track work. So, yeah, I knew what John sort of wanted. And just hang on a sec, mate. Hang on.
You're right.
Jack, can you just help this lady, mate?
You're already abusing the staff.
You'll be at HR next tomorrow. I know you there that quickly.
At least you didn't swear like John Wilder.
No, well, you know, and as I was saying before, you know, with John, I'd learnt so much off him, and he entrusted me, and we, you know, I was able to go back and give him good feedback. So I actually had a really good grounding for what I'm doing now. Was very hands-on. But, you know, the responsibility of 300-plus horses, and programming, and that's it's a whole package now.
Yeah.
But you know how the system works, Darren. You've been there long enough. You've been at John's hip all the way through. You know what's needed.
Yes, yeah, and the breeding of it and the system, you know, like, we've got great staff, great foremen, and, you know, assistants, and to be able to, you know, put everything's in place, and it runs like clockwork, and sometimes there's a few chinks in the armour, but we iron them out as quick as what we can and just get on with the job. And, you know, we've got beautiful horses, and you know, John set up a really good foundation to, you know, with the horses that we've got. He's really developed them, like the two-year-olds. We didn't the two-year-olds are more three-year-olds this year, so we're going to have some nice three-year-olds coming through. He's looked after them.
Darren, we hear a lot about the system, and it would have taken John, you know, a fair number of months to, it would have had to be developed to start with, and, you know, the importance of the system, is that sort of number one in the organisation? Because if one part falls over, the whole part, you know, collapses?
Well, the number one, the important thing in the system is everyone working together. And, you know, this starts right back 20 or 30 years. The system was put into place by Johnny Hawks. And then Pete's moved into his role and added his little, you know, dimensions to it. And then John's moved in, and he's, you know, but it's basically a 30-year transition of what happened when Hawksy put it all together. And... you know, we just keep it rolling, and there's a few little changes along the way. You add your own little touch or spice to it, and I'm sure, you know, I'll probably do the same along the way, but you don't have to really invent the wheel.
Darren, it could be a stressful job. You've got lots of things going through your mind. Do you think your mind will ever get a chance to have a rest?
Well, Ronnie, since last Thursday, it's funny, like, I wake up at like midnight, and I do most of my thinking between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, it's obviously a lot of it's adrenaline too. But look, you know, you've just got to, you know, be working, you know, 4 to 8 hours a week, 2 weeks in advance all the time with an operation like this. Because if you miss one day, it just you know, it catches up on you. So, you know, it's you know, because they're all programmed for their races and trials and at what stages of the preparation they're at, and you really rely on the, you know, the Paul Reeds and the Tony Ball and Billy Jackson stops in Melbourne to be able to, you know, keep feeding you the information to be able to put it out.
Can you train a Group 1 winner over the Brisbane Carnival?
Well, I think we've got an impending trial here this morning. You know, he's a, you know, Group 1 type of horse. He hasn't won one yet, but he's been very close to it. He trialled very good. You know, we had a good bit of luck there on the weekend, and it's somewhat to the Doomben Cup. He's only got to reproduce that and probably a little bit better, and he's, you know, he's right on the mark.
Yeah, mate, when you do wake up at midnight, did you have a chat to Handfast? He looked a different horse this morning.
He did, Lee. But that's the beauty of what, you know, the foundation that John laid for a lot of these horses. I've been really blessed to be able to have some lovely horses that have been given their chance, and he's one horse that John's really looked after, and you know, hopefully we can pick up a nice little race over the Brisbane Carnival with him.
And Darren, have you been given any indication about how long you'll have the job? And it's my thought process that you're happy enough to hand it on and stay there just as the interim trainer?
Well, you know, that's Henry and the boss, you know, asked me to take on board was to, while, you know, all this was sort of happening, was to just pick up the ball and run with it. And I've done that. And, you know, nothing else has been mentioned. You know, obviously, it was a difficult time for everyone. You know, I just all I can do is do my best. And, you know, we had a good weekend on the weekend. And we're here this morning. I think we had 23 runners over the weekend. So it was quite funny. I was up in the morning, and I was probably up about 2 in the morning, and went to work, and then went up to Queensland, and we had a big day, you know, emotionally, and 23 runners, and watching, and I got on the plane, I didn't even feel a taxi off, and snored all the way to Sydney on Jetstar.
There's no need to throw off and just add that Jetstar bit in.
Yeah. Where's the private plane? So I've got to ask you as a follow-up there, Darren, do you want the job? Do you want the job now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm probably a little bit humble, but you know, this is a dream job. You know, and the thing about it, it's not like going out and training sort of 40 or 60 horses on your own. It might seem big numbers, but you've got plenty of staff and good staff, so that just makes the job a lot easier, and you just got to be on top of it. So, look, you know, when you've been in the game for 30 odd years, and you know, 3 years of doing this with John, and you know the system because I worked in it when I was riding them. You know, the Lonros and whatnot, you know, the Nemesons. You know, it's, we'll just see what happens.
Poke along.
Your second day of training. Are you confident enough to sort of make changes straight away? Like, have you got your own ideas?
Look, as I said, Ronnie, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but, you know, I'm sort of feeling, well, I am confident in what I'm doing.
Maybe you can make the change from Jetstar to Virgin.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Emirates?
What about Godolphin Air? Hey, Darren, we know you're busy. We know you're in between trials. You've got 100 horses there, mate. We thank you so much for your time. All the very best, and you've got our support.
Good. Thanks, fellas.
There he goes. Darren Beedman there. Well, I think that's the news. The news is that the thought process was that Darren would be the interim trainer, and clearly that's the title at the moment. The thought process was that maybe he wasn't ready and he'd maybe take the gig down the track at some time, but you quite clearly heard there, Duff, Dean and Glenn and listeners, that he's putting his hand up now to train at Godolphin.
Well, it's the promotion from within, TK, and Darren, we come back to this term, the system. Mm. Now, to have Darren there, who's learnt and been hands-on with it, it's a seamless transition for the horses to stay in the same routine they're in. To bring someone new in, they have to learn all these processes and they have to rely very heavily on the staff that's already there. Eventually, it comes back to the man that's in charge, who is going to be the trainer. At this stage, it is Darren. And Darren, you know, everything hasn't changed. The only thing that has changed is John is not there anymore.
Yep.
That's the only change that's there at this stage until and if they appoint a totally new trainer.
All right. We'll take your thoughts on 1353 53. We'll get to the text messages 0419 767 272, because I've kept Leanne West waiting with the news and the sporting headlines, but she's been very gracious with her time. It's now 9:36. I apologise for that, Leanne, but we were chatting with Darren Beedman quite clearly.
It was very interesting, Terry. Making headlines in sport, Cronulla chairman Damien Keogh has spoken to reporters about his cocaine charge this morning, saying he's disappointed and will accept accountability for his actions. It follows a weekend of damaging headlines for the NRL, with Sydney Roosters player Sean Kennedale also charged with cocaine possession, and New Zealand captain Jesse Bromwich and teammate Kevin Proctor implicated in a nightclub drugs bust. Queensland State of Origin coach Kevin Walters has told the Big Sports Breakfast that Jonathan Thurston may be right to play in the first Origin match, despite reports he could miss the entire series with a shoulder injury. Celebrations are continuing this morning for new A-League champion Sydney FC after last night's thrilling 4-2 win on penalties against Melbourne Victory. Last year's Melbourne Cup runner-up Heartbreak City has died after breaking a leg in track work in Ireland. Arsenal has beaten Manchester United 2-0 in the Premier League this morning, Liverpool and Southampton with a scoreless draw. And American golfer Brian Harman has won the Wells Fargo Championships after nailing a 30-foot birdie putt at the final hole. I'll be back with more sport and news at 10 on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Bruzy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks' worth of the Man Shake and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Here at Sky Sports Radio, we're gearing up for one of Country New South Wales' biggest and best racing carnivals.
The 2017 Darley Scone Cup Carnival.
On Friday, Cup Day, Cup Day. Big Sports Breakfast and Racing HQ are live from Scone Racecourse.
On Saturday, Scone Standalone Race Day, Racing HQ will be trackside with all the latest on English Guineas Emirates Park Dark Jewel Day.
Friday, Saturday, catch us both days live from Scone.
Thanks to Darley and Scone Race Club. It's the Southern Hemisphere's number one breeding stock sale, the Magic Millions National Weanling Sale, May 25 and 26 on the Gold Coast. Over 550 lots by a record 95 individual sires, including 19 exciting first season stallions. Graduates of the sale include Group 1 stars Piero, Zoostar and Peggy Jean. Catalogue at magicmillions.com.au. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale on the Gold Coast. The future is here.
Hurry! Bingley's Mother's Day deals end soon. Come in and grab something Mum will love or shop online at bingley.com.au.
Favourite ice cream?
Strawberry.
Species of cat?
More of a dog man.
Movie?
Easy. Die Hard. All of them.
Huh. Okay. Your favourite horse to win this weekend?
Well, there's Wildfire. She's a great filly. Oh, and there's Black Truffle, she's a proven galloper. And you can't forget Suave fella, he always powers home. I mean, that's not even...
Can't choose between the horses you love? Bundle all the runners you love in the one price. And if any of them win, you win with Tab's Bundle Bet. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272. Or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Everyone's on board. Dean Lester in Melbourne, Ronnie Duffersey, Glenn Munsey and TK in Sydney. Hello, David. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Hi, thanks.
Thanks for waiting, mate.
No worries. No problem. It was actually interesting there to listen to Darren Beedman. Can't believe he's flying Jetstar. Maybe that's where John left.
What? Oh.
No, I know the there's no planes out of the Gold Coast that late on a Saturday night because I know Cathy O'Hara flew home Jetstar and I think
Where's the jet?
Well, yeah, I don't know, TK. Yeah.
Good point, David.
Yeah, no, I just did a winner on Saturday. A horse that won on Saturday there, Duff. I was very impressed with him. That new universe, he was first up for the Waller Stable. I just wondered what you thought of him.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. He's obviously he's been purchased and been purchased by one of Chris's, you know, probably best clients, Mr. Lai, and obviously they've singled him out and may have paid a bit of money for him. I find it strange that Chris only trialled him once going in, so that sent alarm bells off straight away to say that he goes well. Usually he gets a handle with two or three trials with horses like this. And look, he was arrogant there, David. I think he may even hold a nomination for the Stradbroke.
He's a $21 chance at the moment in the Stradbroke.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's Chris's style to press the button. He likes to take them through his their classes. So, look, I'll be interested with the next move they make with him, whether they just give him a light winter and think he's a spring horse, but he's certainly a very talented horse.
Actually, I think with the trials, I think he actually, they might have had private trials. I know a guy works for the Waller Stable there, Glenn Barnes. He was telling me they had private trials, you know, because the caravan show was on that week.
That's right.
Happened last year too.
A couple of weeks ago.
The old jump out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think you might be on the ball there, actually. Mm.
Because you're giving Glenn up.
Yeah. Poor old Barnsley.
Glenn's wrapped him.
I tell you what, it's hard to get a word out of Glenn anyway. So you've done well to get it. He's the quietest bloke you'll ever want to meet.
That's solid.
He's a good man.
Do you reckon he was driving out of Rose Hill in an hour ago?
Beautiful. We love happy winners, yeah. David. Good on you, mate. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your time as well. Hello, Richard. Good morning. The boys are all listening.
Good morning, folks. I was hoping Darren Beedman would be appointed the trainer for Godolphin, but listening to Henry Plumtree yesterday, he categorically stated there's no way he would be appointed permanently because until he had 3 or 4 years' experience. I mean, why would he make a statement like that if there's a chance of Darren being appointed?
Well, because that's Henry's beliefs, and Darren's put his hand up this morning and said, you know, he would like the job. He wants the job to go forward with. So they're just two different parties, Richard.
Oh, but I thought Henry was the boss.
Oh, no, he's the boss. He's the boss, and he may well have that opinion of Darren, but Darren's just saying, well, I believe I can do the job.
Mate, well, I agree with Darren. Like, he's been his offsider for... He knows the way the things are run.
He's had his years, yeah.
Exactly what to do, but Henry categorically stated there's no way he would be appointed to trade, and I was amazed at his statement, really. Maybe things can always be changed. I guess he's not the real boss. I guess the state's the boss when it comes to...
Well, that's the thing. I like the fact that Darren's got the confidence within himself.
So do I.
That he's willing to put his hand up and go, well, you know, I think I can do the job. In fact, I know I can do the job. I just got to be given the chance. So I'm a supporter of Darren's.
Hasn't he had his 3 years?
I agree with you. I hope he gets the job. Yeah. Anyway, boys, that's all I have to say.
Good on you.
Good on you, Richard.
Show, and I love listening to you boys every Monday.
Thank you, mate.
Hasn't he had his 3 years' experience already under John O'Shea? You
know, And under Hawksy.
Maybe they're thinking, well, if we can't get the targeted man we want, Darren is the man for the job. So we'll see how it all unfolds.
Hello, Ben. Good morning. Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffersey, Glenn Munsey, and the world is now listening to you.
All right. I just wanted to talk about James McDonald because he's sort of the forgotten man of Australian racing. You know, he's the man on everyone's lips, you know, 6 months ago. And I just think he's been badly treated. I mean, it's not like he backed another horse. He backed the horse that he was riding. And I know that those are the rules, but I think the rules need to be changed because if he's backing his own horse, then there's no conflict of interest. And if there's no conflict of interest, there's no problem. And, I mean, Damien Oliver backed another horse, and he gets suspended for 10 months, and James McDonald gets 18 months. There's just no consistency there.
Do you want to hear my opinion, Ben? James knew he was doing the wrong thing. You know, just say he had the 5,000 on that horse, right? Stern, wasn't it? And then what if he's found to have 10,000 on another one, or he didn't back another one? Does that mean he didn't like them, or they weren't trying, and all of that? And the whole industry is run on speculation.
And James also suffered from the change to the mandatory sentencing. There was no mandatory sentencing
after
when
Damien
Oliver was suspended. Yeah. They changed the rules to set down a set penalty for this sort of...
Offence.
Thank you, TK. Yeah. And James was the first one that was found guilty of this offence, and he suffered from the fact that they basically changed the rules to say, well, if you do this sort of thing, no matter whether you back your own or you back someone else's, this is the minimum sentence you are going to be issued with.
I understand that James McDonald knew that he was breaking the rules, but my point is in relation to the rules itself. Like, over in New Zealand, they're allowed to back their own horse, and that's held in a special account that's overseen by the steward. So
I think they're changing that rule now too, Ben. I'll double-check for you, but I think that's about to be changed if it hasn't been changed already.
What about trainers?
About trainers?
They can back another runner in a race.
They can. Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
And they can have multiple runners in the one race.
Yes.
Yep.
Can you understand my point that there's only a problem if there's a conflict of interest? If they're backing their own horse, there's no conflict of interest. So there shouldn't be a problem.
Probably James was brought up in that culture where they're allowed to back their own horse as well. But still, that's hardly an excuse. He knew the rule.
And we haven't heard from the other party that was involved here, which is could all have been talking. James just said, well, you've got me. This bloke said he backed it for me. James has still got to admit the guilt.
But it may not be anywhere near as serious as it all pans out
because the other party that's involved hasn't had the gumption to put their hand up.
Yeah, like he knew he was breaking the rules. That's fair enough. he knew that before he done what he did. But I just think that they should change the rules, and I think jockeys should be able to back the horse that they're riding, or they should be able to have a bet in a race where they don't have a ride.
I'll guarantee you that won't change, Ben, but I believe James McDonald is a great jockey. As soon as his suspension, his disqualification is over, he'll be back, and I don't think people will hesitate putting James McDonald back on any horses. In fact, I'm pretty sure he'd be the number one stable jockey for John O'Shea when he comes back.
Yeah, well, he's definitely got the talent, that's for sure.
But, so he, yeah, that's right, yeah. But he did the wrong thing, and unfortunately he's paying a very, very hefty price for it. But they're the rules.
Because, I mean, if he backed the horse that he was riding, and I backed that too, I'd be even more confident, because he's got an extra incentive to ride the horse even better.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, I know. It's just easier if they don't bet. It's just easier.
Yeah, because the other thing that comes in there, where you say, well, one day he has a monkey on something,
correct,
which is 500. The next day he has 3,000 on something. Well, the day that he had the monkey on it, is he nowhere near as confident as the day he had 3,000 on it? Well, what about the day he has 200 on it?
That's right. All of that. All of that.
What if that is actually known to the punters beforehand? They know that before
Ben, it's a good point, and guess what? Plenty of people agree with you. But that would just be... Can you imagine that coming over the track and the announcement in Sky?
Yeah, but James, I've got enough to worry about without telling you.
I'd like to be
there
booking.
And I shouldn't use James as an example here, but, you know, Jockey X has had 5,000 on this, but, well, last week he just had 1,000 on the one in the race before. Does this... Anyway.
We'd need another Sky Channel.
Jeez, can you imagine? What about that, Demon? That would be chaos.
Oh, I'll pass on that one. Oh.
Thanks for your help there, Dean.
What would we classify that? That wouldn't be market moves. That'd be what?
You'd find
postillions.
You'd have a name for it.
Yeah.
Dean, I'll get your opinion as a former student. You know, Darren Biedman putting his hand up there on air with us, saying, you know, he'd want to go forward in that head training position with Godolphin. Would, you know, when you factor in form and all of that, that wouldn't worry you, would it?
I don't think so. I think he's been in the system a while. I'm interested that the Woodlands, Darley, Godolphin system has worked, I think, best with a family connection when the Hawks has had the operation running. And
it's
and,
so big.
And then, of course, the Snowdons.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that just having that link often is a good thing. I think, Darren's very... been in those systems in different forms as a jockey and then in recent times as an assistant trainer, that he understands what it takes to run a big stable.
What are you saying? James, Edward and Anthony?
Yes.
Together.
Yes, there you go.
But everyone forgets, you know, Darren's got a son, Mitch, who's matured.
Yes,
who's
correct.
Matured a lot in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
He's going through the Godolphin system in his own right.
Right.
He's a blacksmith, I think.
He's already a qualified farrier.
That's right.
Yep.
He knows how that system works as well by now, I'd suggest. So who knows?
Okay. Yeah, well, he's a good man, Darren. I knew he wouldn't lie to me when I put the question on him either, so that was a good thing.
Yeah. He might be looking for an assistant, TK.
Yeah, well...
You have had experience in some sort of systems?
I know, but that's a little bit big for me.
He wants winners.
Hello, he doesn't Terry. Want to cool straight off.
Hello, Terry. Good morning. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Yeah, hello, Terry.
Yeah, no, it's not Terry, it's Brian, mate. How are you going?
Oh, hi, Brian. Sorry, mate. It's got Terry up on the screen.
You're good, mate. You're good. Mate, I wanted to have a yarn to Munn about the jockey challenge.
Yes, mate.
I have three sort of small beefs.
Yep.
One is if a jockey has one ride and falls off.
Yes.
You basically do your money.
Yes.
I think that's a bit unfair.
Well, mate, well, for a start, we'll go back to that one. He has one ride, and it made a bloke in a golf tournament stands up on the first tee and hits the first drive down the middle of the fairway, picks his ball up, and then walks off the golf course. He has started the tournament. He has had the opportunity. That's a similarity in a way there. A lot of jockeys' challenges are closed after the first race.
Yep.
So he's had the opportunity to ride and fulfil that ride. That's just the way we do it. It's the same as, you know, a rugby league player runs on the field, gets sent off in the first 25 seconds, a la Pete Kelly, for Canterbury. He hasn't had an opportunity to score a try or do this or whatever, but he has taken part in the start of the event.
Yeah, that's
the simplest explanation for that. Yeah, sorry, your next one?
Okay, I'll take that one on the chin. All right, the other one is,
if a jockey, I've backed a jockey before, he's had two wins on 6 points.
Yep.
Then he's fallen ill. Now, and he's been replaced. Can I just ask, why cannot, if a jockey, if, you know, if he's replaced on four rides, those points, if a jockey takes his ride and gets a second, why cannot those points, instead of going to the jockey that's taken his place, because no one thought that jockey had a ride anyway, why cannot those 2 points go on to your jockey that you have backed?
He didn't ride him.
To make it fairer for the punter.
Yeah, but he didn't ride them. It's a similar scenario to your first one.
Yeah, but the person that backed that other jockey, they weren't expecting him to have that ride anyway. So
right, what about that jockey that takes a ride on 54, gets to the races and then said, I can't ride 54? What's the difference there? He's accepted to ride it at 54 kilos. You know, he potentially gets fined because he hasn't ridden it, and you want to give the points to someone else.
Well, I can't understand why the points can't accumulate to that jockey if he's lost that ride. Like, if he's fallen ill, can't take his rides, or he's replaced by someone else that's been voted. Wouldn't it be fairer on the punter for those points to keep going to his jockey for that day?
And
what
the bloke,
if the bloke that picked up the rides?
What if you don't like him?
And you backed him, and he picks up the points.
And you're not getting
it. It's called gambling.
Terry, thanks, mate.
Sorry, what was your third? Just quickly.
Oh, really?
Well, he's 0-2 at the moment.
Terry, do you want a third one?
That's Brian.
Brian, sorry, mate.
Terry's your name.
Yeah, sorry, Brian. What's your third one?
The weekend of the Sydney Cup, Bowman was given the jockey challenge payout. He was on, I think it was 8 points or whatever it was. Now, I backed Kieran McAvoy and...
Was he given the jockey's challenge or the Nathan Berry?
No, the jockey's challenge.
The jockey's challenge, yep.
Yeah, Bowman was declared the winner that day on, I think it was 8 points. Now, I backed Kieran McAvoy and Timmy Clark that day to win the jockey's challenge at Sydney that day. Now, the Sydney Cup was called off.
Yeah, the race was abandoned. Yeah.
Yep. Now, Tim Clark and Kieran McAvoy were both on 5 points. Bowman won it on 8 points. Now, Kieran McAvoy and Tim Clark both had rides in the Sydney Cup, yet Bowman was declared the winner. Now, if Kieran
because
McAvoy...
Because it was a no race. It's the same as any race that's declared a no race on the day, that's it. It's just not because it was the Sydney Cup.
You go from
the 10 races it was on that day was declared over 9 races.
It's a no race. Yeah. Look, it's a no race. Thanks, Brian. Thank you. I knew we had trouble asking for a third. We taking calls.
Take duets.
13, 53. Quick one. I've got to. I'm with Ross Dog here. What happened in New Tipperary?
A lot of these horses are burnt out on dry and wet tracks. So some of them have taken effect from running on them, and some haven't. You know, like they're all individuals. But New Tipperary is a bit of forgetful preparation.
And I've just had one from Henry Plumtree. If Dean's right about families, Donald Trump would be a superstar. speculation.
I was only making a point, Henry. I am available, Henry.
I've sent an email off myself.
Yes.
I'll join in with you.
Yeah, we can program.
Joint ticket?
Yeah, we can do something.
Yeah. Well, I live closer than both of you.
How did you rate Egyptian Symbol in Adelaide, Dino? Will it run in the Stratty? Hot potato, says.
Oh, I'd love to see her just ridden back in a race.
Supposed to do that on Saturday.
Yeah, she but seemed to get keen and.
Did you map it that way that race unfolded?
No.
Shidell. Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah.
I still don't know. He must have forgot his wand.
Yeah.
Well, it's Egyptian Symbol paying the price for a last preparation where they did go forward on a couple of times in slowly
running.
Yeah,
she switches straight off in trials, Glenn. Yeah. Yeah. Like the other day, she was just beautiful out the back in the trial and just zipped home. And yet race day, she seems to just hype up. And they made the announcement they're going to ride a lot quieter, and it didn't happen. I'm sure she can win one of these sort of races if she's just given that sort of run.
She's long shot king. He's not happy with Joe Moreira. He calls him
the wand.
Joe Moore Errors.
Joe Moore Errors.
There's a new one.
Not the easiest place to go to Morford Ville.
He didn't adapt to the time difference.
Poor old Joe. And then he had no luck, did he?
The quote of the day was from Terry McAuliffe after the last. He says, the magic man leaves a maiden, bring back the poon train, he can ride a winner.
Now, one to follow, Dino, you got one for us?
Yeah, I was tipping it on Saturday, but I went off a run too soon. Stegler in the last race was three wide all the way and just looked a little bit big in the mounting out. He'll win his next start. He's going well.
All right. Duff, have you got one?
I got two that finished out of a place on Saturday. Okay. And similar. They're both presented very big. A two-year-old called Manipulator, who only beat a couple home. He was ridden out the back in a slowly run race. Nice horse. And Summer Doubt out of race four, he was the same. He needed that run, and I thought he stuck on okay in a pretty fast race.
Beautiful. And Glenn, you got one?
Yeah, from a stable that's absolutely flying at the moment, TK. Jason Corr, Berry Delicious. She's one that will appreciate when we get the wet tracks back again. She was first up there on Saturday, and she found the line quite nicely, and she's much, much better on wet ground.
Let's squeeze one more call in if we can. Hello, Anthony. Good morning to you.
Morning, boys. Just firstly, with that first call of yours,
yeah.
I'd hate to rob a bank with him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was a bit confusing. And did you get to the Wagga Carnival?
Did I ever? I saw you try to duck in the kebab shop on Thursday night, Terry.
I made it home safely. I wish it was
ignited a kebab. That calcutta.
It was, mate, $73,000, Anthony, I think.
Isaac Race New South Wales should pour more prize money into those bigger races down there and attract even the more stables from Sydney. It'll be an absolute massive carnival.
They run it well, and this is what most, and I'm sure it's the same in Victoria as well, Dino, if country provincial tracks are given a chance to stage a major event, they put on a really good show. And people turn out, and I think that's testament to, you know, the professionalism of those organisations that take it on. We're going to see it again. We've seen that tradition continue to Hawkesbury, and hopefully we'll see it again at Scott. Well, I know we'll see it again.
We saw it at Warrnambool as well.
We just had the Tab Warrnambool Carnival. It was magnificent.
Right. Yeah, so
it was.
So I think they all do a terrific job, and people love a road trip and getting to these country carnivals, including
next time,
me.
TK, can you get there for 3 or 4 days instead of just, you know, a fleeting visit?
And I've got to say,
and you know, Glenn, what? There were spare seats on the planes that Friday night, TK. You got a bum steer there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well probably.
When seat 1A where I was, there was a spare one behind me.
I was about to give you a rap. You do a good job at those Calcuttas. It was a good night. It was an extraordinary event, really, at the William Farrer Hotel. So and you stir the crowd up beautifully. Thanks, everybody. That's Punters Postmortem. We'll post that up on our as a podcast too. Darren Beedman confirming that he wants the Godolphin job on a permanent basis, not just as an interim. Thanks, Dino. Thanks, Glenn. And also thanks, Duff.
Is it Plumtree at davidgodolphin.com?
I'll send you the address.
No, it's Sir Henry.
Yeah, the Honourable.
I've had no offer yet.
Yeah, don't be waiting by the mailbox.
Well, I think they just think it's automatic. I'll rejoin with my old sparring partner. Anyway, it's 10 o'clock. We've got to go. Bye, everybody.